world is messed up, and you are too. But it's okay. Let's talk about it on this edition of T-Life. That was Stu Brown, and I am Mike Kellogg. The program T-Life, a program without an agenda, except to see you grow in grace. Here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. You're just joining us this week. Let me tell you what we're doing. We're beginning a fairly long series on God, pain, suffering, evil, and broken ropes. Because of thousands of letters that we get from people who are really going through difficult times, because of some of the world events that have happened that are pretty devastating and really bring you up short, I thought it would be a good time, and because some time has passed, that we take a break and we spend some time on what the Bible really says about the world, about suffering, about pain, about hardships that people go through. And most of the material is taken from my book, When Your Rope Breaks. We're going to take the time that it needs for me to tell you everything that I know about this particular subject. Now, if you've been listening this week, you know that I said that there is good news, but you've got to hear the bad news first. The good news is that God's in charge of this mess, and that he's good, and that he's good all the time. Now, we're going to be spending later a lot of time on God being good all the time. But you've got to hear the bad news before you hear the good news. And this week, we've been talking about the fall, about Adam and Eve, long before you were ever born, who did some bad stuff and caused us to suffer. Now, I never thought that was fair, but God said I didn't get a vote, and there's a reason for it, and we're going to talk about that later, too. But the truth is that we've got a disease worse than AIDS, and it was infected or given to us by two people we never met, and everybody suffers from it. Now, we've seen this week, if you've been listening, that we live in a fallen world. That means that the cosmos, the world, is messed up, too, Romans 8, 20 through 22, and various other passages of Scripture. Then we saw, and we've been talking about this the last couple of days, that because of the fallen world in which we live, not only is the cosmos, the world itself, messed up and bent and warped, you are too. We saw that there are two major anthropological views of human beings. One is that we're basically good, and we have a proclivity for evil, or that we're basically evil and have a proclivity for good. Now, the Bible, and I know this doesn't sound right, but if you take the time not only to read the Bible, but to read any literature that has any universal quality to it at all, or watch any play, or be involved in the arts, or listen to anybody who's a commentator on reality, they know what the Bible teaches, and that is there's something wrong. And it's not just wrong with the world, there's something wrong with us too. I suspect that if we could somehow live a life of perfect obedience to God, we would live a life without a lot of the hassles and the hurts that we face. The problem is that we can't. We can get better. We can improve. We can, in John Wesley's words, move on to perfection. But perfection is something we will not obtain until we get home to heaven. It has not been revealed. This is 1 John 3:2b. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. My friend, the late Art DeMoss, one of the great personal evangelists of our time, used to reply to someone who asked him how he was. He would say, better than I deserve. Christians need to recognize, and this is a part of our preparation for evil, for bad stuff that happens in the world, is that people are not good. Human beings have a proclivity for good, but they're basically not good. And so we all ought to say, when somebody asks us how we're doing, better than I deserve. We need to recognize that things are bad because we're bad. And if things were as bad as we deserved, they would be a whole lot worse. Not only does our own sin create a problem, but also the sin of others creates a problem with us. It happened at 9/11. It happens in car accidents. It happens with generational problems when you see alcoholism going on from generation to generation. It happens when people do bad things, and it affects the rest of us. In Florida, for those of you who have never been here, the slogans of our highway department is drive defensively. That's a good idea, but on the streets of Orlando, it isn't good enough. Listen, no matter how much you watch those others, you can't watch all of them all of the time. Somehow, someday, some way, one of them is going to get you. Now, sin is like that. The world is made in such a way that you suffer for other sin. I know. I don't like it either, but we're talking about what is, not what we wish would be. The drunk who runs over a youngster, the parent who abuses his or her child, the expedient decisions of bad politicians, the specter of terrorism, the pollution of the city, the horror of war. Isn't this an upper? This will make a good weekend for you. But it goes on and on. We can list the sinful actions of others that deeply affect our lives. Even if we could be perfect, which we can't, we would still have problems caused by the imperfections of other people. Jesus often spoke of Christians as being in the world, not being of the world. While we're in the world, we must recognize and accept the reality and the repercussions of sin. It doesn't do any good to get mad. Sin just is, so deal with it. Now, since I'm on a roll here, and you feel miserable already, I mean, don't forget the good news I told you at the beginning, because it's still good news. And we're going to get to the good news, I promise. But there's another implication, and this was the last one of the fall, but I don't want you to miss. You're going to die. Please note the implication of Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as though one man sin through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:56 that the sting of death is sin. In other words, the ultimate result of sin is death. Have you ever had someone tell you not to worry about death because it is natural as birth and just a part of life? They lied to you. It's not natural. We were not born to die. Disease and death are the result of the fall, of sin, of the warped nature of the place where we live. Every once in a while, I'll hear somebody say at a funeral, as they look into the casket, "My, he looks good." That's crazy. You say, "What are you, out of your mind? He's dead. That's a corpse. He doesn't look good." I wouldn't say anything like that, but I've never found death to be a very nice or pretty thing. However, it is a reality, a fact, with which Christians must deal. I was one time flying from Miami to Los Angeles. I may have told you this. I had a speaking engagement a few years ago, and this lady died in the aisle right next to where I was sitting. She had been terminally ill, people knew she was going to die, but they thought she was going to live for a long time. And one of her friends or her mother or somebody there screamed. And, it was an interesting experience. And so they put her down on the aisle. They called for doctors. It was a 747, so it was a big plane. There were any doctors on board to come and help. And they came and they worked on her, but they couldn't do anything and she died. Now, you need to know that everybody that got on that plane, almost everybody, had been coming from the cruise ships and had been coming from a very good time and were still feeling no pain, having a good time. There was a lot of laughter, a lot of cutting up, a lot of kidding, but it all stopped when this lady died. I mean, it stopped dead, no pun intended. Now, the pilot went from 34,000 feet to about zero in 5 seconds. He landed in Dallas, and they made us all get off the plane, and we stood there. If you've ever been to the Dallas airport, Dallas-Fort Worth, I think, and you can stand there, and you can look at the plane, and you can see the door on the side of the plane. Well, they brought this shroud-covered body down from the plane, put it in a hearse, and took it off, and then they let us get back on the plane. I'll tell you, the second time the people boarded that plane, it was a whole different bunch of people. I mean, it was very, very quiet. And I went to one of the flight attendants, and I said to the flight attendants, "Look, I'm a pastor. I deal with death a lot. It's something I can deal with, and if there's anything I can do to help, if I can talk to anybody, I just want you to know I'm here and I'm available." And this is true. I'll never forget this. This is what the flight attendant said to me. He said, "Reverend, I very much appreciate your offer to help, but we're going to give them free drinks. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? She actually said that. That's the way the world deals with it, but we don't. You see, as Christians, we're aware that the truth is that the statistic is one out of one. The truth is that as Christians, we can't afford not to look at the reality. And the reality, and I've told you this week, and it hasn't been a fun week, I know that. But if we're going to deal with pain and suffering and broken ropes and hurt that we go through, we need to know three things. And I've told them to you. Let's review them. First, the world is messed up and it's warped. That means that sometimes there'll be earthquakes and hurricanes, and if you don't get in out of a lightning and thunderstorm, you could die. It means bad stuff's going on. Secondly, it means that people, human beings, are not good people. If nothing we have learned in the last few weeks, we should have learned that. But we need to know it about ourselves. And thirdly, because of all of that, death is an ever-present reality. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, I want to send you the Winter Magazine if you want it, and I'll send it to you free. I wrote an article, Our God Reigns, another Crosses and Crowns. The magazine has a question and answer column, a lot of information about our Lake Barkley Fellowship that's coming up, a lot of resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy, and faithfulness to Christ is your crowning achievement. Send it to you free. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular name and address. And it really is free. But that doesn't mean I'll turn down your contribution. This is a very expensive ministry, and you help your brothers and sisters in Christ when you're able to help us financially. Listen, think about it and pray about it. If you're to be one who is to help, be as generous as you can. And for any contribution, you can charge your own MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. For any contribution at all, when you request it as my thank you, I'll send along the tape, a New Year's examination. Hey, listen, I'll send it as my thank you. I gotta go. First, I must say, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.